So we're talking about the laws of prayer. And we're up to chapter Tzadik Ches, that's 98. And this chapter talks about Tzorich Sheyiloi Kavona B'Tfilosi. A person has to have in mind the proper intentions during his davening. Uboy Heisifim, this includes five subsections. And the question is, what exactly does it mean to have kavana? What is the kavana? What is the person's? What does he have to have in mind? Aleph, machshavta keitzad. How should one direct his thought? Because originally, when he started this whole subject matter, he said a person needs to make sure that the place, his body, and also his kavana, his mind, are all ready for the davening. And he's going through all the various different preparations, states that his body needs to be in, and now we're talking about how his mind. So what does it mean that your mind should have kavana during the davening? So he says like this. Hamispalel tzorich sheyikaven beliboy pirush hamilos shemoytzi bisvosov. One who prays needs to have in his heart the meaning of the words that he's expressing with his lips. In other words, not just to say the words without knowing what they mean. Shenemar, because there is a verse, this is based on the verse that states in the verse is where? In Tehillim, Perik Yud, Pasik Yud Zayin, it says, Tochim Libom, Takshiv Aznecho. It says, when they prepare their heart, then your ears will hear. It sort of says that God listens to you if they prepare their heart, which means if their heart is part of the prayer, if they know what they're praying, if they know what they're saying. B'tzorich sheyira atzme, a person needs to imagine himself ki'ilu shchina shiruya kenegda, as if the divine is resting opposite him. V'yoyir hakavona, and he should arouse his concentration. V'yosir kol ha-machshoves ha-toyrdes oisoy. He should remove all thoughts that disturb him. Remove all those thoughts. Ad she-tishor machshavtoy ve-kavanosoy zako b'tfilosoy. To the extent until his thought and his concentration will remain clear to the prayer. V'yachshev, the person should think, how do you speak speaking to a king of flesh and blood? Meaning a human, if you speak to a human king, then you would organize your words, and then you would have a good intentions in them, the Baal Yikoshel, so that you shouldn't stumble. So you prepare yourself that you should speak eloquently and without disturbances. So kalva choymer, how much more so you're talking with Nemelech Malcham Lachma Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're talking in front of the king who kings the kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. We're talking about God over here. So tzarich lekaven lefonov, that before Him you have to also direct and have af machshavtoy. Also the thought. So when you're talking to a human being, a king, he doesn't know what's in your mind. So over there, the most important thing is what's in your lips. Because what you say, you want to make sure you say it the right way. But when you talk before God, God also knows what's in your mind, what's in your thought. So over there, you want to make sure also that your thought is properly connected and directed in the right way. Before Hashem, your thought is just like speech. Because God looks into all the thoughts. So on this hand, on this count over here, that's a pretty serious, but it also goes for the other way, that if a person can't do so much, but he does it with feeling, God looks into the heart. So it's really what's going on in your heart, which is most significant. Most important, but in any event, the kach hoyu chasidim va'anshimai oisim chasidim va'anshimaitse. He tells us the Hasidim and people of deeds, this is the what they would do. Shahoyu Mizboididim, they would by themselves they would meditate. Umakavnim bitfilosom, and they would have such great concentration in their prayer. They would reach a level in which they would sort of remove all the physicality. They would be in a trance, sort of. They would be so connected to God that they sort of left their physical state. They were no longer connected physically. And they had the overpowered them, the spirit of their spiritual, the intellect was they would reach almost to the level of prophecy. They would be so high, they would be so removed from their physical state, and they would be so elevated to their spiritual state that they almost were at the level of prophecy. What happens if you have another thought comes to you in the middle of the davening? Yishtek achit is batel hamachshava. Then stay silent until that thought leaves you, and then continue with your davening. So, v'im ein yochel lekaven pirush hamilos. What happens? Somebody cannot direct his mind to the meaning of the words. Maybe he doesn't understand the Hebrew, right? If he's davening in Hebrew, he doesn't understand the words, or he doesn't know the meaning of the words. Al koponim. Minimally, a person should think at the time of prayer, bidvorim amachniin esalev, those matter which subdue the heart, and they direct his heart to his Father in heaven. Can't think of the meaning of the words, but at least think thoughts of humility, thoughts that subdue you, direct your mind to Hashem, to God. Don't think about matters that have lightheadedness involved in them. The koydem atfilah, before the davening, yachshiv meroymimus okel yizborich v'shiflus odom. The person should think about the exaltment of the blessed God and about the lowness of a human being, the how small the person is. V'yosir kol tanugei. A person should remove all delights of human pleasures from his heart. You know, nothing is important now, just Hashem. Bring in Hashem and everything else is removed. One should not kiss his young children inside of the shul, so that you set in your heart that there is no love like the love to Hashem. So the love, even the love of a child, is not compared to the love of Hashem. So don't express that love in the shul. But children that interfere, they don't let the parents daven, they make noise. Don't bring them at all to shul. Don't, because they interrupt the shul. Yeah, but you know what? But not all the wives are happy with this. The wives want to break too. They say, get the kids out of the house, take them to shul. So I can have a break. Like Shabbos morning, you know, deal with them a whole week. Shabbos morning, take them to shul. But he says here not to bring them to the mom. Now, it talks about specifically kissing them, but you know, you have children, sometimes you have to pick them up, you have to hug them because they're crying, they hurt themselves, they make noise, and the only way to calm them down. Okay, so now, subsection 2, he says, lo yispalel loy b'mokim sheyesh boy dover sheyimvatel kavanosoy, not to pray in a place which there is something which distracts you, which takes away your kavanah. In a place where there is new brewed beer that smells, maybe where it's coffee also, you know, smell the coffee, wake up. I don't know. Maybe Over here, when you come sometimes Shabbat, you smell the chomp. You know?
Yeah.
It smells those too. But, alright. V'loy b'shah shemevatlin kavanasi. And also, not at the time that they would distract your kavanah. She'ein daitim yusheves olav. In a time when you're not relaxed. Me'ez etzad. Let's say you're, something painful happened or something that stresses you. Or kas or anger, maybe you're angry or something like that. Or maybe you've just traveled the road, you're tired. So he says, don't daven then. Don't daven when you're under stress, angry, or just come from the trip, you're exhausted. But he says, but nowadays, we're not really careful in all this. Because we anyways don't have so much kavana in our prayer today. So we're not going to push it off because of things that are distracted. We're anyways distracted. So based on our level of prayer concentration today, these things doesn't make such a difference. I would also think that we're always stressed out about something. There's always something is hardly a day that we don't worry about something, or that we're not stressed out about this and the other, or that we're not upset or angry or something. So, I mean, if we follow this rule, we wouldn't pray ever. count. Because, the minimum is a count. All right. Section, subsection 3, Gimel. Al Yase. A person shouldn't pray, make his prayer as a set thing. It should be like asking mercy and beseeching before the Holy One blessed you. You should ask yourself. Which means, you don't pray because I'm obligated to fulfill my obligation. Okay, so I'll daven. You know, I'll daven because I have to daven. So that means it's making it into a set. It's a set thing. It's just like, that's the thing I got to do. For then his prayer seems upon him, it's like a load upon him. And he's trying to get rid of it. It's a load that he's just trying to get out of, you know, finish up with. But you should daven like you're wanting something, like you need something. And you're coming to ask it in front of the king. You're asking, you have a request. And also speak in a beseeching, in a begging way. Like Kirosh Hamibakish Bapesach. It's like a poor person asking at the door for something. Don't ask Hashem, you owe it to me, you give it to me, or like it was with a demanding way. But you approach Hashem like a poor person standing at the door and begging Hashem, you know, please give me. Subsection 4, Dalet, Siv Dalet. Hatfilo b'makom korban. The prayer takes the place of the sacrifice. V'lochein tzorich lizoyer she'edu dugmas ka'korban b'kavona. So you have to also be careful that it should be similar to the korban with the kavona, the intention that we had when you brought a sacrifice. So that you don't have another thought, sort of like a thought that would disqualify by kochim, meaning by the korbanos that you bring. Don't have such a thought of it. It should be while standing. The prayer you need to do like standing. Just like when you did the service in the Beis Hamikdash, the offerings, you weren't allowed to sit. You had to stand. That's why the prayers are done standing up. It has to be a set place. You have to pray in a set place. We learned it before also. K'moi ha-korbanos. Just like the sacrifices. Each korban, shekol echot kavua mekoimai l'shchitosi. Each one had a special place designated in which you slaughtered it, you shecht it. U'matan domein, and where the blood needs to begin. And also, there should be nothing interrupting between the person and the wall, davening in front of him. And we learned already earlier that another person in front of him would not constitute, or furniture within the shul, are not, that he used for prayers, they don't constitute a chatzitza. but the person should be standing facing the wall. Chatzitza means an interruption. Kamoya korban, just like a sacrifice, shechatzitza paiselus beinoy lekeli. If you had an interruption between the kohen, the one who's doing the sacrifice, and the vessel that he's pouring the blood, let's say, or on the mizbech, that would be a puzzle. That would be no good. So you can't have that the same by the prayer. It's proper, it's fitting that a person should have nice clothing that are specially designated for his prayer. Just like the garments of the priest. When they served in the Beis HaMikdash, they wore special garments. It wasn't just ordinary garments. However, but the thing is, not everybody can afford to spend money for this. It's best that a person has clean pants or designated pants for davening because of cleanliness. Now, in the olden days, you know, the people were short. They didn't have six suits or seven pairs of pants. They just had just something to wear. So this meant a big thing. I mean, people today, most of the time, when people get up in the morning, they are clean. They should be clean and normally. But like they tell you the story, like in the yeshiva, where the Bachram were, they were very poor. They were talking back in Russia in the dimes when it was very, very destitute. It was very, very difficult. So, but they had one pair of pants. That was a new pair of pants. So when a boy had to go for a date, he would he wore that pair of pants. I mean, I'm not sure they made it fit over there. But they had a pair of pants to go out on a date, you know, so that at least he looked like a mensch at the time. He was dating. My father, may he rest in peace, used to tell me that at his wedding they could barely afford to get up as some sort of like a new shirt, you know, it was like something white, and then, you know, that, you know, they didn't have, you know, it's, we laugh at it, to us it seems strange, but Baruch Hashem, but it wasn't like that, and it wasn't like 100 years ago, it was more recent than that. They were what they had at the time.
I just wonder what minhag that is. Does it go way back?
No, it goes way back. It goes way back. So he says, apapi, this requirement for having a special pair of pants, I'm just saying, why don't we do that today? We don't find that today. Is, I guess, because people are, generally, they should be dressed decent anyways, regardless. It says here, apapishi min ad-din, legally, technically, halacha doesn't require ein tzorich nikiyas letfila, yeser mitalmud Torah. They don't require more cleanliness for davening than you need for a study. If you're studying Torah and your pants are dirty, and especially, it says, even though if your pants are dirty on the inside, mutter, as long as it's not visible, and they probably didn't launder their clothing so much, and you know, and then didn't dry cleaner, so so as it was written in chapter 76. Over there in Siv Beis and Siv Dalot. Okay. Subsection Hey, 5. Al Yachshev, a person should not think, Roi ani sheyasa kodesh baruch hu bakashosi. I am worthy, the God needs to do what I'm asking him. Don't think that you are worthy, Hashem has to listen to you. Kivon, because I'm having so much good intention, my mind is directed properly in davening, so God must listen to me. Or on the contrary, if you think so, this actually reminds Hashem, so to speak, of the person's sins. Because that way, you start looking, investigating, searching his deeds. Loimar Batuachu bizchu Yosef, that he is certain in his merits. Elo yachshev sheyaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdei. That the person should think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do it out of kindness. God should do it out of his kindness. V'yomer b'libo, a person in the heart, mi ani, who am I? The person should think, who am I? Dal, I'm poor. V'nivze, and shameful. Bo levakish, I am coming to ask, meis melech malcha amlocham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the greatest king, the king who kings king HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a little nothing, and I'm asking, I'm standing before the greatest of all, before Hashem. If it's not for God's kindness, great many kindness, in which he conducts himself with his creations. So you're coming to Hashem, not with demands, not with rights, not with figuring out that you are deservant, but you come to Hashem, because then if you're deservant, then we'll look at it if you're really deservant or not. But if you come to Hashem and you just say, listen, I'm a poor nothing, I'm a shmegegi, and I'm here davening before you, I know I've made mistakes, and I know I don't deserve, and I know I'm not worthy, but still, you are so kind, and you are so giving and generous, why don't you help me out? Give me a break and help me out.